Hello and welcome to episode 25 of the Pokeballs podcast. I'm your co-host, S9 Vibe, and I'm graciously joined by my lovely co-host,
That's a co-host.
I felt bad saying that I'm just the host, so I was thinking co-host.
Pretty much, yeah.
We're co-hosts, so it doesn't, you know, this is our podcast, so you are my co-host, but yes.
And you are the host.
Yes, that is also true. I am the
vice versa.
And vice versa, technically. How are you doing? How are you doing this week, Lee?
I'm doing all right, mate. I'm doing good, catching up on all the DLC stuff, so that's nice. And yeah, enjoying the games, mate, still. Really enjoying it. Shaping up for Regulation E starting in VG, which is very exciting. Which kicks off, is it like next week? Next week, officially on the ladder. A week on Sunday. So that's going to be
Battle
very
Stadium
exciting
is
for the competitive
updated
team. Pardon?
Battle Stadium has already updated to it. It came with the DLC, but...
Yeah.
But officially.
I think there's some issues with getting some of the Pokemon on though, isn't there? Like Bloodmoon, Saluna.
Yes,
that
possibly.
On there, right?
I don't know. I've
on,
heard of
some of the other Pokemon don't. I think there's like some issues. So I haven't specifically went on Battle Stadium to play, mainly just playing around with Showdown.
Yeah, no. Showdown has been good. I've messed around. Ogerpon team's busted AF, as we discussed previously.
Ogerpon's great, mate. I loved
so
it in
cute.
The DLCs okay. when and that storyline, and also when
it's very cute.
I've played it in VG, it's just absolutely redonkulous. So,
hot topic of debate: which Pokeball did you catch in?
Oh, don't, because
everyone's talking about this.
I messed up mine.
Oh,
I even
no.
went through this on my last stream. I like because it was so early in the morning and I was so tired. At that stage, I was just mashing through A because it was like they're going through all the masks.
Uh-huh.
And the next thing I know is I was locked in on a quick ball and it threw it and it caught it, didn't it? And I'm like, great. Now I've got to play through my Violet copy
just to
catch it in a... Yeah. But why is everyone so hung up on it? Like, normally, no
People
one's bothered
about it. I think
everyone's like, what ball you caught it in? I'm like, why for this specific Pokemon when I've messed it up? Is that the question? I'm like, yeah, I know I messed up. It does kind of match its colors because it's got, especially if you got the Wellspring form, so it's got blue and the yellow in it.
You can
it,
only
so it
use that form now with that version of Ogerpon.
Yeah. And plus, there isn't, you know, I was thinking about this morning. I'm doing at the minute a shiny hunting like compilation guide for the channel. And I was like, why isn't there a specific fire Pokeball, right? We haven't got one that's like four fire
that's
Pokemon.
That's true.
I'm like, we should have the flame ball or something like
that.
It would be
so
cool. Sick.
We don't really have, other than the Pokeball, we don't really have a red Pokeball. I know you have the repeat balls, but they're kind of like an orangey kind of color. But like with a flame on it, that would be sick. You know, like
cool,
the special Pokeball that Pikachu comes in with the lightning bolt? Something similar to that, but with
a flame. That would be so good with
it. Flame.
And then when you throw it out, its animation is like flames bursting.
That would
be so sick.
Sick, bro.
Like, we've got the dive ball, right? Why haven't they, like, we need that. We need, like, the leaf ball or something like, you know, the bush ball.
This is so right, the bush ball.
I caught my Celebi in a bush ball. there's so much scope. I'm hoping at some point they look at that. It feels like it's been an area that, like, a lot of the fan base are, like, really in on, like, the different Pokeballs, right? It's a big thing. Like, I love... like catching stuff in different Pokeballs, especially, you know, the more special ones. But we haven't had a new one since, like, I think we talked about this
maybe
a few pods ago, and it's Beast Ball's the last new one we've had.
And
it's
that's
like,
just, like, useless against anything other than an Ultra Beast.
It's so hard to catch anything in. I caught my shiny Gligar in it, and, oh, man, I reset on that shiny for a good 40 minutes trying to get in the Beast Ball. It was painful. It's worth it in the
just
end,
for fun.
But... Well, it's like having a Gliscor and a Beast Ball, mate. It's
true.
Like
that is pretty wild.
It's good, but yeah, its catch rate is absolutely appalling. But yeah, mate. So just doing that, catching up, like I say, with the DLC. There's still lots to be found in it. I think there's lots of cool stuff. I really enjoyed it. And then yeah, just VG stuff, I guess. But I'm tired, mate. I haven't really, I've been like full on the last, like since the DLC dropped. So it's not even been out 2 weeks yet, but feel like coverage is kind of, main coverage is coming to an end. Just got the dribs and drabs with shiny hunts and the raids and things like that, which are very exciting to kind of cover. Ooh, look.
Look at this lovely channel. I promoted the hell out of it to people at Barcelona when people were like, oh, how do you get this? I was like, you know, look, there's this cool channel that shows you how to do this, right?
Mate, you're too kind.
Zoe will tell you, because she was trying to do the DLC and I was like, just watch his videos. He has like 4 videos on it. Just go do it. It's not hard.
I would have liked to have got them out sooner, but it was,
I think all the videos have done super well, really, like considering what you got to look at as well. We spoke about it.
I think the quality of them overall is a lot better than what I've done
some
in the
of
past
them
as well,
are so. Amazing. Like this Ogre Clan one is beautiful. Like the editing is amazing on it. And like your thumbnails are like amazing and stuff now. But if you look at like other people's content, like you can get a vibe of like the hype for the DLC. I know we've obviously spoken about this in depth briefly, but you know, you can tell how hyped people are based on the views for videos. And if you look at other channels, like they're not doing as well as when Scarlet and Violet dropped, right? I mean, we kind of guessed that.
I love Philly's thumbnails.
Oh, they are gorgeous.
He's got such clean thumbnails. Yeah. They're amazing.
But like none of his videos have done particularly... he hasn't done many guides. He's only had 3. And the rest are just like shiny hunting guides. But
I think that's just down to the amount of content in the DLC itself. And I think he's probably... like, he knows what he's doing. I think he's just putting his resources into
dissing the channel.
No, I know what you mean. I think he just knows.
There doesn't seem to be as much hype as, you know, if you look at videos by a lot of the creators, there's not as much hype there as it was for Scarlet and Violet.
I think those shiny ones are definitely, like, slow burners as well. They're good ones for, like, ticking over time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree.
But, no, I think you make a good point. I think there's just not a great deal of content in the DLCs. Like, there's enough, like, from me, from a personal standpoint, I feel like it was a good amount. It's gonna, like, it was enjoyable. It's gonna be, like, nice to see us through to the Indigo disc, I think, whenever that drops. But there's not a great deal of, like, content like we got when, you know, a new game drops and you're like, there's like 1,000,001 things to do.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, so sorry for the voice as well. but yeah, no, I think you make a good point. There's like, I think there's still a lot of hype around it and excitement around the DLCs, but
not if you're IGN.
I think the main hype is good.
Not if you're IGN.
Yeah, I know you mentioned it to me. I think the fact is, though, that like, I'm not really... after you mentioned the Auras thing and reminded me of that, I feel like it's totally like I don't value anything that they put out or say, because I'm like, what a stupid reason. Like, you're marking Auras down because it's got too much water. Well, that's the region. And
that's full of water.
The games. And it's literally one of the best remakes that we've had. So I'm like, you guys, yeah, you don't know what you're talking about. So... Whatever, Trevor.
Especially
I like
the
it.
Excess water other... Pokemon and navigation of habits. Shut the fuck up, bro.
Yeah.
Do you know?
It's horn. Like, what do you expect? It's like, it is water. It is the water region, isn't it? Did they mark Alola down because it had too much water, or was it okay because we could just fly between islands? I mean.
It just seemed like such a petty thing. I just remember dying when it came out. Yeah, great game, but you know, just way too much water, even though that is the base game and the whole region is based around it being around water.
I swear Gen 3 as well is one of the most loved generations as well, you know. I think it's like, you know, like people absolutely go nuts for Gen 3. Like, it's not one of my favorite regions to traverse, like get around and stuff like that. Like, definitely always one of the ones that I think, I don't enjoy having to surf around as much, but I would never mark it down for that. That's just because I kind of prefer, I guess, some of the other maps running worse than
a base game Scarlet and Violet. Have you had any problems with it? I haven't had any problems with it.
Yeah, mine's been pretty. The frame rates are pretty bad. I've had some weird stuff. I mean, you were there on the stream when I was in that perpetual loop of just falling through. through the floor and it loading. So I've not had anything as bad as that since. But it's nothing like terrible, but it's like, it's noticeable, right? I think. And the fact, I think there's that weird issue with the trainer, the tracking trainers that you've battled as well.
That was a weird,
which has come out. Which, you know, if you're like me, I said it in the video about the patch update, I'm pretty lazy. I like, there's loads of trainers that I just completely, if I'm given the option to ignore a trainer, I will opt to ignore that trainer like every time. Because I'm like, unless you're going to give me an item or if there's something that I can get from me from doing this, I'm really not that worried. So majority of trainers in Paldea I've left. So I think my trainer tracking is pretty free, allowing me to complete these other things. But you know, if you've 100% complete Paldea, you're gonna have issues completing like the Ogre Pawn, the Ogre Clan side quest and some other things in the DLC, which just feels like a huge oversight from Game Freak. But this new patch that they announced earlier in the week that'll come in early October hopefully fix that, with along with other things that it never really, they never like specify what these other things are.
I'm excited.
It's not going to be performance.
No.
I think, mate, honestly, when we were talking about this last week, like, I've thought about it a lot more about the resources where Game Freak are putting their resources at the minute and the potential of them having a release title on the on a new like Switch successor. I think it makes so much more sense why they're just coasting with Scarlet and Violet and just like getting by, literally just getting by with it and not really worrying too much about fixing certain issues. They'll fix the issues that obviously affect specific gameplay, parts of it and things like that, which we're seeing with the trainer tracking. But you know, performance issues aren't really at the forefront of something that they're looking at, even though it would be a great thing to fix, right? I think their resources are definitely in something else, which will, you know, it's not long until February till we'll find out, I guess, what the next plans are. But I feel like you hit the nail on the head last week with that, so we'll see how it unfolds.
I was listening to a tech podcast, and I was talking about the Switch and sort of, you can now focus, the success of the Switch and whether or not they need, so they were talking about Tears of the Kingdom, right? And they were discussing whether or not Tears of the Kingdom was meant to launch on the new console. But then they sort of come to the conclusion that maybe Pokemon have realized, because the Switch is still selling units, right? 7 years or 8 years into this release cycle, they're still selling units. Still,
and they got a
really
massive backlog of like OLED models. I reckon that they just haven't been able to shift. That's why we're seeing like so many with, you know, the Pokemon Edition one, Tears of the Kingdom one, the Splatoon one. You know, they're just printing these different edition ones onto these OLED models that they've got obviously sitting in a warehouse that they weren't able to shift when they initially kind of did the basic upgrade to that screen. Sorry, carry on.
No, it's okay. That's okay. That's a good point. But they were basically saying that, I think if you look at it, they've probably looked at it and gone, we don't necessarily need a launch title for the Switch 2. Like, realistically, they could be at a stage now, because they were talking about how, like, you know, we mentioned the Steam Deck coming out. Like, maybe that kind of, not necessarily 100% that, but the Nintendo, for a long time, they owned the handheld market, right? No one else came close. Like, obviously, you had competitors to it, but, like, Nintendo have owned it for years, 20 years or whatever. Like, the DS has been better than you had the PlayStation, you had the PS Vita, it just wasn't as good as a DS, right? They've just owned it for years. They've owned handheld gaming. And now you've got things like all of these, like, more powerful handhelds that are coming out, like the Steam Deck, like the ROG Ally, which are more powerful and they can do a lot more stuff because you can run other games. You're not limited just to Nintendo. You can run anything that runs on Steam, right? Because they're essentially just small PCs. And they were saying it feels like Nintendo are probably coasting for a bit and it's kind of given them a kick up the arse, you know, because, again, they'd owned the scene for so long and you could argue that they essentially got lazy, right? But now you've got all these competitors coming in and, oh, you know, why would you buy necessarily a Switch now if you wanted a handheld gaming device? You know, you've got these other great options out there. Yes, they are more expensive than the Switch, but they do a lot more. They're capable of a lot more stuff.
Yeah.
So that's why they're thinking, okay, that's probably one of the main reasons they decided to do, like, an upgrade. But they were essentially saying that, like, it makes a lot of sense to me that maybe they've got into a stage where, like, they like this form factor, right? Realistically, whatever iteration, whatever the new console is, it could just potentially be this, right? Because we know we're going to have backwards compatibility from the old games. And so they were saying they might just be at a stage now where they just, every, like, 4 or 5 years, they just release a new console or, like, with better hardware rather than, like, having to innovate, you know? Because as we discussed in the past, like, this form factor seems to work, you know? Every other handheld device seems to be looking at this type of form factor. Okay, this could probably be a bit more ergonomic, and I'm sure they could adjust things like that. But realistically, in terms of innovation, are they going to do much, you know? Do they need to do much if this works? You know, why not just, like I said, every 4 or 5 years, upgrade the hardware and, you know, just keep the backwards compatibility, but then still release new games? Because, you know, why not? And so I think that potentially, and that sort of goes back to the whole idea of the Switch is still selling well, and the whole, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, the biggest selling point for a lot of people for a long time has been, I would buy a new Switch if it was more powerful. Yes, the OLED version came out, and yes, it is better than this one. 100%. It does look way better. When I was at the event, a lot of people actually have the OLED Switch, and they do look way better IMO.
Yeah.
It looks less dated as well, because the border around the screen is a lot thinner.
It's a lot cleaner, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it just feels like, you know, all they really need to do is just improve the hardware, and then, you know, they've kind of hit the nail on the head, because they've kind of done everything else. I mean, okay, the online system is kind of crap. It's Nintendo, you know. They're never gonna make it good. They're never gonna make it useful like PlayStation Plus or Xbox Live, you know. But maybe one day we'll get to that stage.
It's come a long way since like the early DS days, dude. I remember for the DS Lite, I think, having to buy a Wi-Fi dongle, a Nintendo Wi-Fi dongle, just to be able to get online with it.
Really? Did you need
a dongle
for that?
I've still got it somewhere. Yeah, I've still got it somewhere. I'll dig it out. It's probably like a rare artifact these days. But yeah, you had to get a Wi-Fi dongle because I think it used...
Is that the original DS?
No, it was the original DS and the DS Lite. Because I think it used a web connection, WEP rather than WPA. And, you know, over here in the UK, our standard was WPA, right? So the only way to get a web connection was having one of these dongles. The real pain, mate.
So jarring.
Like, and it was so inconsistent. Like, it really was. It didn't work half the time. It was such a waste of 30 quid. I swear it was like... But going back to, like, I know what you're saying. Like, the online system. I guess I've just come from a place where it's been way worse, and now it's, like, actually usable. But it's still not up there with like your Xbox online services or your PlayStation services and stuff like that. So yeah, it's still got a long way to go. But I feel like Nintendo's always been a little bit behind with those sort of things, which is weird because it's like you should be ahead of all of this stuff. You should be ahead of your PlayStation, your Sony's, your Microsoft's with this sort of thing because you've been in the game for so long. It just feels like an area that they just completely neglect. And again, like cost, just like allow, we'll just, you know, we'll Steve Bruce it, we'll just get by, you know.
Yeah, and it kind of comes back,
we'll tick along.
I love that analogy. Sorry. Little football analogy for you football fans out there. It kind of comes back to this analogy of like, not an analogy, but like, so the Switch Online being bad, right? Another comment they made on this podcast was like, they've kind of taken away the focus of like playing with people. It feels like they still have the classic Nintendo games that are great to play with people, like your Mario Kart, like your Smash and stuff. But it feels like, I don't know, it's just like the push towards like playing with other people seems to have just got sort of, I don't know, just taken a step back a bit. You know, you had like the Wii. You know, like I know that was a, you know, different type of console, you know, but like the Wii was all about playing with people, right? It feels like we've kind of just, like I said, the emphasis doesn't really seem to be there anymore. Maybe it doesn't with this type of console, but, you know, that is what one of the biggest things I've liked about Nintendo for so long is that this, you know, the games that, like, the multiplayer games that they made have always been so much fun. You know, you look at things like Wii Sports, you know, Mario Party.
Mario Kart.
These are, like, some of the best games that, like, ever. Like, people will tell you they love them. They're so, like,
Switch
iconic.
Sports is so bad as well, mate. I got that, and it's...
It's not awful. It's just not as good as the Wii Sports.
It's not really got the playability, like, the replayability factor like Wii Sports had for me, where I'd go back to it for years, you know? I feel like I haven't picked it up in, like, a month since, you know, like, buying it. Played it for maybe a week, and then I'm like,
I didn't think Wii Lite was a golf on it, because the golf was a lot better, but they didn't have the thing that
it takes so long now, though. I feel like a round on like Switch Sports is like, it takes so long compared to Wii Sports, where it's like really pretty fast paced, you know. I just feel like it takes way longer to do that. And like, everyone, when I've played it with them, has just got bored, and we've never finished like an 18 hole course. Which never happened on the Wii Sports version. You know, even
they didn't have 18 holes.
Resort.
I'd never play Wii Sports Resort, but they never had 18 holes on Santa Wii Sports.
The results, the 18 holes, just, it was good. It's good. Really good. Good addition. Good upgrade, I would say, to the Wii Sports, Wii Resorts.
But if we look back at, like, talking about the online system, like, because there is no party chat / I mean, you can do it on your phone, can't you, or something crap like that? It's just like,
I've never really used it. I don't know. You maybe can, but
like, because there's no in-game that whole hop on a voice chat type thing, and there's no, like, some games there is just no obvious way to play with friends online, like Mario Kart. I don't know if they've changed it since we've played, but.
Oh man, can you remember trying to link up and play together?
Just having
so
to
painful.
Like try and join a game at the same time is the only way we could play together. That was it.
Yeah.
It was so bad.
Pokemon's like got a good way of doing it, right? The Union Circle's nice. The, you know, linking up with Terroids online. I think Pokemon, like, looking at it from just a Pokemon perspective, like Scarlet and Violet, they've done a really nice integration with like online play and linking up with others. Just, it's sad for the players that, you know, don't have that online service where they don't have the subscription. So they're kind of like,
again the other day.
Yeah. Did you?
Sad.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, everything, you got to pay for everything now.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you get F-099.
Yeah. 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 Anyway,
Pac-Man 99 is fun.
Yeah, I guess so. What would be nice, really, is...
I'm trying to give you a silver lining here.
Like, I know it's not a lot, but I'd rather pay a bit more on, like, the DLC packs for, like, or, like, the racetrack expansions for, like, Mario Kart. You're pretty sure you have to pay extra for them. Like, you don't get them.
Yeah,
you
got to have the expansion. You got to have the plus, haven't you? But with that, you get, like, the N64, Mega Drive, the SNES. You get the Game Boy Advance. Which would be worth it, I think, if you're a Pokemon fan and you got that back catalogue of the Classic Collection. But
we'll see. Maybe one day we'll get the Classic Collection.
The save states. I still stand by that, I reckon, because we've got the save states in that facility, in those virtual consoles. I reckon that's why we're not seeing it for Pokemon games. I think they need to a way to...
I think just in general, I think Nintendo has to have, or needs to introduce a cloud save.
Yeah,
for their consoles. I don't understand why it doesn't exist.
Well, they're probably going to do that, and then it's going to increase the price even more. So it'll probably go from, like, you know, 30 quid a month for the expansion plus subscription to like 50 quid with your cloud service.
Or year.
30 quid for the year.
See, I don't mind paying that. If it's a good service, I don't mind paying it. Like, Xbox Live and PS Plus is like 60 quid now. It might even be more than that, but you've got access to loads of things for that. It is worth the money.
Yeah, and the PlayStation one, you get like a new game every month, don't you? And it's a pretty good title. Well, you know, I remember when I had a PS4, and I remember getting like in one of the NBA games 1 month, and I was like, this is like a game I'd actually go out and buy, and I don't need to now because I've got it through subscription. So, but that was a brief spell playing PlayStation. Then I was like, oh yeah, not a huge PlayStation fan, so I sold it and was like, I'm just going to stick to a Nintendo.
Well, the Xbox Live comes with a Game Pass, which gives you like access to like hundreds of games as part of the subscription.
Yeah, it's pretty decent.
So, you know, like a massive bag loss. So,
you do get this name with the Switch. It's just not.
They just don't have all the good ones on there. It's just like, yeah. It blows my mind. They just don't have it on there. But maybe when that new console comes out, we'll be eating our words. I really hope we are. But until then, there was an interesting development, actually.
Just takes them so long to do anything. Like, I mean, like, you know, how long has it taken them to get games? How many games have we got on the N64 Virtual Console? Like, a handful? It's like, you could be putting a lot more on there. I know you've got to integrate, like, multiplayer online modes and stuff like that with them, but is that really that difficult to do? And for the most part, people will be kind of just happy to have the games on there. They don't need to have these additional features on there. You don't need to spruce them up. It's for the games, really, you know? So I just think they could be doing a lot more than what they are.
I agree, but again, maybe they're saving it all for the new console. Maybe the new console isn't, like I said, maybe if it is just like a hardware improvement with, you know, maybe with like an OLED screen and stuff, maybe they feel like they need other things to help promote it. Maybe they need to do all this stuff, but we'll never know with Nintendo because they, you know, the Japanese company, they tend to function differently to a lot of Western companies. So
yeah, there's very little transparency. Although you say that, Sony's a Japanese company, and they're
true.
I don't know if they have a bit way more transparency with stuff than Nintendo. I just,
but maybe it's because they have a stake in Nintendo, vice versa. You know. Because I think I was reading somewhere, like, the Pokemon company is like a company that exists of, like, four different companies. It's like Nintendo has a stake, Creatures Inc. has a stake, Pokemon itself has a stake, and then someone else has a stake, which is why it gets, like, really convoluted over certain things. But
yeah.
But, yeah, no, it was interesting because I don't know if you saw this week, Unity come out and made some changes to their policy. Unity is a game engine, for those that don't know. So a lot of games are built on it, including the Diamond and Pearl remake made by Ilka. And basically, as of January 2024, they are currently adjusting things. So the huge backlash that they've had, they are charging developers 40 cents for every install of their game that was made with Unity. And so people are working it out, and a lot of these companies have been like, well, we'll be paying you more than we're making, right? And so a lot of these indie dev companies have been like, no, we're not going to use we are shifting. Slay the Spire, they're making a remake, really popular game, indie game. Yeah. They're making a sequel to it, and it was all developed on Unity, and that once Unity come out and said this, they basically put out a statement being like, fuck you, we are going to spend extra time porting it to a new game engine now because we are not going to pay the money. Like, this is absurd. Because they also went through and backtracked and deleted a lot of stuff from the GitHub repositories that protected like a lot of game devs from shitty stuff like this, so that it's really scummy, and it applies to like all the backlog of old games. It'd be different, people saying, if it applied to new games. Like, yeah, anything that comes out from next year, but it applies to all old games.
Well, every, how can they even do that?
I don't know. But they've had a shit ton of backlash. But people were saying, I saw a meme on the Pokemon subreddit talking about, it was like, you know, the meme was like, is this a good game? Was I a good game? And it was the Diamond and Pearl remake. And then at the end of it, it was like, no, but Nintendo may sue Unity, so it might be worth it. Because, like, they're now expecting Nintendo to pay for every install or every purchase of the Diamond and Pearl remake, so, which is an insane amount of money. So, knowing Nintendo, this is like, no.
Yeah.
Here's a lawsuit.
Good luck.
And again, it's the same with a lot of these other companies.
Yeah, they're like the big boys in the industry aren't going to be opting for that. They're going to just spearhead straight to cut this off. Not going to play a ball game with that.
No, but it's
God, like
Super scummy.
You can't put, and especially like, you can't put this back onto like Ilka for BDSP either, because probably bankrupt them.
Well, yeah, I think like
how many units were sold? It still sold well.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem with it, a lot of the stuff is, from their point of view, if you play Devil's Advocate, apparently they haven't made money. They've been like losing money. I don't know exactly how the fundamentals and the pricing structure works for game engines, but they've been losing money. So this seems to be a push, obviously, to make sure that they're not losing money anymore. But it just feels like a really scummy way of doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially like you say, going like backdating it. I think just restructure your like payment system for developers using it. Weird. I don't think we'll see Ilka make another Pokemon game, though. I've got a feeling about that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it wasn't necessarily their fault. I mean, it's Nintendo's fault for basically binning it off to them. So,
I mean, they did
what they were told and made a faithful remake.
Yeah, it was very faithful to the original games. Yeah. Just didn't live up. I think a lot of people just had way higher expectations for it than what it was, and I think that was the problem. But as a standalone game, it's not terrible. I enjoyed it, but
it was a good game.
Yes, the best starters who are now in the DLC, mate. Yes,
I do like Empoleon. Cool. Well, I like them all.
Competitive,
but yeah. I've been trying a Southwest Empoleon with competitive, but. Because it gets Brick Break as well, and there seems to be a lot of Ninetales about running about people.
Yeah, Ninetales picking up a lot of usage. Yeah.
So
I don't think that'll last, though, mate. I think there's too much. We're not getting into competitive talk in the podcast, but yeah.
So it's a good Pokemon. We got those in, but no, it's been interesting with all the Nintendo Switch and the Nintendo developments. I even saw some article thinking about like Microsoft CEO talking about how they could potentially buy it. Like, buying Nintendo would be good for them. And I'm like, what? Sorry, what the fuck?
Microsoft, you imagine?
Microsoft, it's already... That's just so bad for, like, you know... Like, they've already got, like, a monopoly. They've fucking bought Activision. They own so much shit now. Like, I don't want Microsoft to own Nintendo. Jesus Christ.
I don't think it would ever happen, though, would it?
I think Nintendo would be too stubborn to sell it.
Yeah.
And there's one time their stubbornness will actually pay off. But,
yeah. It would ruin Nintendo, I think.
Yeah, because it's a Japanese company, and I think it needs to stay that way in order.
Yeah,
because a lot of its roots, you know, in like a lot of the games, you know, take their inspiration from Japan.
And as much as we complain about like, there's no transparency, the communication's bad, the online services are bad, I still love the franchise. You know?
Oh yeah,
I like to critique things, but you know, I think like I'd be so upset if Microsoft bought. I'm like not the biggest fan of Microsoft anyway, so that would be like a knife to the heart. I feel bad.
Okay, so this is a bit of a tangent because I found it really interesting whilst I was away at Pokemon events. Now, Pokemon Go, we've touched on briefly a lot. We wanted to go to Go Fest, didn't go. I almost went, but it was raining in London, so I didn't go because I didn't actually have a ticket, but I was going to meet people up there. Anyway, again, still has a large player base. As I've mentioned in the past, I didn't realise that a lot of people still play it. Now, going to Pokemon events, specifically for Pokemon, whether that's for whatever type of game, whether it's the video game, whether it's for TCG, or Go, which are now all at these events. So Go, obviously, you can actually play competitively. A lot of people play the game. And, like, it's really annoying because people that I'm going with, they're playing Go a lot. And I'm kind of just, like, I don't play Go, right? I haven't played Go for a long time. I have it on my phone. I haven't really touched it in a long time. But, like, every person I was there with was playing Go and talking about Go. And I just felt I had so much FOMO. I'm like, what? Like, I had literally, they'd just be like walking down the road. Whenever we walk to and from the venue, they'd be on Go. Even inside the venue, because they have like special like Pokestops and stuff like that. And I'm like, fuck, I need to play this. And like, it's so annoying because I still can't find I don't understand why. Okay, there are different reasons to play it, but there is no core objective to go other than to collect the Pokemon, right?
Mm-hmm.
They introduced some cool stuff, obviously. I'm not saying it's a bad game. I'm just, from my point of view, in my head, the things you can do, these are the things you can do. You can collect Pokemon and try and complete your decks. You can get shiny Pokemon, which you can transfer over to the new games, in all fairness.
Yeah.
You can now play PvP battles. There's now like a ranked online ladder that you can play, which I learned playing competitive Go is really hard, because getting the IVs on the Pokemon, there's no way to adjust them like there is in the video game. So you literally just have to capture them endlessly until you get one with perfect IVs, basically.
It's a grind, yeah.
A proper grind, basically.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, real grind.
What was it? And you got the terror raids as well. And so, you know,
not terror raids.
I went
the raids.
The raids, sorry. Yes, not terror raids. My apologies. So I went
Scarlet
to...
Scarlet and Violet.
Yes. I'm getting confused. One sec.
Pokemon noob. I can't believe you've not experienced this before. So, especially when you were at Worlds and stuff like that, mate.
I think I neglected it because I went to two people. I went with two people that live in London, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is one of the reasons why they're so into it. Because back to what you said about having no Pokestops, I have nothing here.
Yeah.
One Pokestop. That's it. Near my house. That's it.
That's and what so I got.
I think it's, if you live in a highly populated area, like near a city, I think it's a lot easier to get into Go because there's a lot more shit happening. But for someone like me, like, I still get the appeal if you live remotely. That's the whole point of the remote raids, and that's why there was a lot of drama with it, right? Because for those people that live far away, as we discussed, you know, not necessarily far away, but just nowhere near stuff, it's hard for them to take part in the raids and, you know, just even to catch Pokemon. And so, you know, they were, like, playing it, like, non-stop. Like, we went to the Sagrada Familia in Barcelona, right? This absolutely gorgeous church that they've been building for almost over 100 years, right? Over 100 years. It's still being built right now. We went in there. They were playing Go, okay? They were playing Go there. And I was talking to one of the guys, and when, in the past, apparently, like, in 2016, when stuff happened, like, when there was all, like, because obviously only... One of the big things about it is if you, like, you obviously want to try and catch certain Pokemon, right? And if you don't have them, you go, oh, I haven't caught the Pokemon. And, like, apparently there were instances in the past where, like, a certain Pokemon would spawn inside a building and, like, you would just get this insane rush of people out of nowhere. Like, I think it was when, like, Go in 2016 when it came out, all these people swarming to an area and then, like, causing disruption because they're all there to catch, like, a Kangaskhan or something.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently it happened at Worlds, like a Kangaskhan spawned outside one of the convention centres, and then, like, there was, like, just everyone was just there, just catching this Kangaskhan. And so, you know, you got stuff like that, which, you know, again, and in different countries as well, you can only catch certain Pokemon.
Yeah.
Is, like, specific to Brazil, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, Taurus, and, yeah, Kangaskhan's another one.
And so
there's loads. And for, like, some of the, like, specific research events, like, I'm currently doing the one for Shiny Mew at the minute in Go, and you've got to complete the Kanto Dex, which includes getting all three of the birds, the legendary birds. And on top of that, there's loads of other things to do. I feel like it's going to take me forever to complete it.
Yeah.
It's crazy, mate. It's
I'm just
crazy
getting man
popular,
basically.
Still.
And to that same extent, Ben Kiriaku, he got challenged by one of the Go players, who's also one of the commentators, to play. And he's like, I've never played this game before. And so he was like, he literally opened it up, and I think he had like a few Pokemon, and he battled him basically. He lost, obviously, because he doesn't know how to play PvP. But he took one Pokemon off him, and he was like, oh, I'm going to make it my mission to beat you in a battle. And I'm like... He also experienced the FOMO now, so he's now hooked on it as well. And like I said, I think if I live near a city, like, I could get into it a lot more, but...
It would be easier to get the Pokemon, especially for PvP, because it's like, I think that's the biggest hurdle I have, which you'll have exactly the same. It's like, I want to get into PvP, but the fact is that I've got nothing on my doorstep, like, to go out and get Pokemon. I've got to do it in, like... dribs and drabs, or when I go to, like, the near events. City or a big town or events, and it's like, it's just such a slow grind to get Pokemon. And then by the time you get those Pokemon, a new meta game's kind of shaped up, and you're like, oh, the Pokemon that I had got trained up eventually are just like not that great anymore. So it's like this perpetual loop. If you don't have something on your doorstep, but you don't have the time to invest into it specifically. I love it as a game though, mate. I think the competitive scene's brilliant. And I honestly feel like it's got legs to go for years. And the Go community is great as well. Like,
it does,
I
seem,
love the
it
Go.
Does seem really nice. Funny
it's
enough,
just because it's accessible to everyone as well.
So, two people that cool. I went with, they both really into Go. So I went with Zoe and I went with a guy called Rushan, who was one of the founders of Nugget Bridge. And they both really into Go. And so they both had the Go devices, you know, the Pokeball Plus Plus. Zoe had the brand new Go Plus 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 Plus, whatever the fuck is called. And Rushan had a knockoff one of the original Go Plus. And he was saying it's really good. And Zoe was saying that the Plus 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 Plus, whatever it's called, is bad. She doesn't like it. She said the vibrate is super jarring. She said light is really bright. She said she just said she doesn't like it. She said she bought it. Obviously, it's really good still, but she said she doesn't like it as much.
There is like, it'd be nice to be able to like turn those features off, because that they are like, it's true, they are super annoying. But if you've got it in your bag, and it's like on a hoodie or something like that in your bag, it's not like next to something that's gonna like make the vibrate jarring, then it's not as bad, and you can kind of just leave it to do its thing. But
no, maybe I just need to go up to London more. Maybe it's an excuse to go up to London more. But I think I do get that, because Rushan was saying that, I don't know if other people agree with this, but he thinks that capturing the Pokemon is not like the fun part of the game.
Nah.
So he was like, that's why he bought like the knockoff one, because it does everything that the
does
others
that
do.
For you.
Does it for you? And like, I'm kind of tempted, because I feel like it would help, because I do find it annoying. Trying to catch the Pokemon. Obviously, it's fun.
You know what? A really good thing that I do, I've started to do, is when I drive somewhere, I'll put my Pokeball, PokeGo Plus Plus on the seat next to me, like the passenger seat.
Yeah.
So they'll be set up, and on my drive, because I drive like through towns and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It'll auto spin all the Pokestops, and it'll catch a bunch of Pokemon on the way. So like to and from places, it's really, really handy for that, where you can be like, normally I would be like missing out on all of this unless I'm like a passenger. And even then, I'm probably not quick enough to get some of the Pokestops, because you go on it such a rate. But the device, it actually picks up like the majority of things, which is like, I find really good for that sort of stuff. But so you might, because you do a bit of driving, so that might be something that be useful for you as well. Especially if you're driving through London, like, because it's such a slow pace anyway, you're going to be able to pick up like a bunch of things. There's a wasp.
No, run,
go.
I hate wasps. There's the spawn of Satan.
Yeah, it's weird, I just said that and it left. So
on the topic of Go, this is why I brought it up. There has been some leaks for a big co-op feature that's in development. This is all come from the Pokemon group on Twitter, so I'll give credit to them. This article mainly talked about how there are a lot of changes, as we talked about, like the raid battles, the PvP systems, like the Go League and stuff like that, for like multiplayer, like the things they've added in. And there's a new update, and this group has been sifting through it. And there's something that's referred to in internal data called Party Play. And they, according to them, what did I just click on? It allows players, what is going on? Players can view party member locations on their map. Mm-hmm. They have the option to enable and disable sharing of location and their avatars. And they can get in a party of 4 players initially. And that includes interaction with raids, routes, and challenges.
Oh, that's cool.
So I don't know if this would be like, if you have a friend that lives in London, you can go interact without buying a raid pass. You go interact with them in raids if you're in a party with them, you know?
Mm, yeah. That'd be quite cool. It's a bit like a union circle in Go, I guess, isn't it?
The party play feature allows 4 players to team up and share the location with one another. There also appears to be interaction with Pokemon Go's other multiplayer elements like raid battles. So it could be really interesting.
Yeah. That is pretty cool.
But it's
talking
cool,
about it, it makes me want to like boot it up now and just start having a look what's around me at the minute.
But there's loads of other things that I didn't know about, like fast catching is a thing, and they were trying to show me how to fast catch.
Yeah, and it's like really useful.
People spoofing, like that's botting.
Like super illegal.
Yeah, I know, but people still do it.
Yeah, it's super risky though, because if you get caught,
get banned.
Like you get your account gets banned and you lose everything. So it's like, it's such a grind to like level up and actually get the Pokemon. It's like kind of not worth doing it, to be honest. It's I didn't realize as well that, you know, for competitive, it's weird coming in from Scarlet and Violet and like VGC side of things, where like hacking is such a prevalent thing, right? For a lot of players, it's like the norm, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but in Go, you're unable to, like, there is no way to hack in Pokemon, which I really like that aspect of it, you know? I think that's pretty cool. So there are some really good things about Go. I'd love to get into competitive. Honestly, it would be great, but I just don't have the Pokemon. It's just having the Pokemon to do it, you know? I feel like I just can't keep up with
If you lived in a city, you know, it'd be a lot easier. But
yeah, I think that would make it easier. It'd be great if they give you like a transport pass where you could transport to a city that you've been to in the past and like have, you know, you could walk around it.
That'd be really
remotely.
Good. That'd be really good.
That'd be really good. That would make it a lot easier. And then would give people with, you know, people that are not able to is freely get out and about as others, a chance to kind of enjoy the game from the comfort of their own home, where they're able to, where they might not be able to get out as freely, you know, like I say, they might have disabilities, they might have impairments that just don't allow them to, like, you know, get out and enjoy the games like, you know, other people. So that would give them a way to enjoy it as well, which would be nice.
Yep.
Yes.
We'll just have to wait and see. Like I said,
I'm pleased you're on the bandwagon. It'll be good.
Well,
good,
yeah. I feel like I need to get into it. One for the podcast and two, I just, like I said, the FOMO is just every time I go. If I want to go to events, like, this is still going to happen. And, like, I'm sure when we go to Lille, like, everyone will be playing it. It seems like everyone's going to Lille as well, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
Including yourself. So it's going to be a good, fun week staying and traveling together. So it's going to be amazing. But no, I'm excited. So I'm going to get into it. I might buy one of those little things. Just to help me get into it, maybe, I think. Especially if we go to Lille. There'll be loads of places in Lille to do stuff.
Oh, there, yeah. So. That'd be great. Great.
Nice little town. But Pokemon have been doing some interesting collabs recently. I don't know if you've seen any of them.
Not really, mate. I know 151 comes out today as of recording this.
Yep. You can't buy it anywhere.
No.
Course you can't, because scalpers or wankers or whatever, I don't know.
I've decided that for this set I am gonna buy, I want the Pokemon Center Elite Trainer box, so I'm kind of holding out for that one to come back into stock. Whether or not I'll be able to actually pick it up or not is another thing, but I'm not gonna be too sad about it. I've been actually on a bit of a, I know you were going into something, but I'm just gonna
go for a tangent
a minute. If you are a collector of Pokemon cards, it is a really good time right now to go in and get pick vintage cards up. Like, I'm not kidding, mate. I have picked up some cards recently that a year ago would have been, I would have been priced out of being able to get them, because they were just like, the value of them was I couldn't justify paying that for those specific cards.
Like what? But, can you give us an example?
I'll show you something that came yesterday. This Rainbow Rare Lugia from Lost Thunder.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
This is a card that I have wanted for the longest time, right? For the longest time. But I've just been for obvious reasons, I can't afford to buy booster boxes and booster boxes of Lost Thunder, because one, a booster box is generally going between £400 to £600, which is just Christ, I'm not going to buy
that.
That's
a lot of money.
And then open it and be like, I didn't get the Lugia. Just for that, it's not worth it. And the Lugia itself is not like I say, a year ago, you were looking at like £250 for this card. Raw. Graded way more for it. But now, it's like, if you are wanting vintage cards, get on it now, because it's a perfect time to pick them up. These cards will go back up for sure, but there's just, for some reason, the market for vintage cards right now is just bottomed out. You can pick some real, real gems up.
But I wouldn't necessarily class that as a vintage card, because it's kind of...
I wouldn't know, but what I mean is, like, I'm putting it in amongst a lot of the vintage cards, like the e-reader cards as well. Like, e-reader cards are, like, some of my favorite, right? There is a McDonald's promo, a Squirtle McDonald's promo, Japanese exclusive e-reader card, with a Squirtle blowing a bubblegum, right?
Oh, I've really wanted one on for so long. They're so old. Right.
So again, that card is like a year ago, like, if you're getting it in good condition or graded, very expensive. But now you can pick it up even graded for a pretty reasonable price. And it's such a nice card. It's one of my all-time favorite promo cards. So again, that's something that, like, you can pick up for a reasonable price now, because the interest isn't there. It seems like it's all reverted to these, like, alt art cards that are, you know, even the Scarlet and the Sword and Shield ones, the alt arts, especially like Evolving Skies, they're taking a drop. Everything just seems to have, like, it's a good lull point.
The post-COVID vibe has kind of died down a bit, I think.
Yeah, but a lot of I like the vintage cards in particular. I know that the Lugia is not a vintage card, but it just goes to show, like, a good example of, like, this is, like, you know, a year ago, to me, I was never going to ever own this card. But now I'm like, oh, picked it up for a very reasonable price. Mm-hmm. Very reasonable price indeed. So, yeah, I think it's a good time. It's a good time if you're... It's a good time to pick up stuff that you've probably wanted for a long time.
You know what I want to do? I want to pick up a Japanese card and get it graded by a Japanese grader. Because I think they look so sick. I just need to find a card that I want.
Cool. Yeah.
Graded.
Yeah.
But yeah,
what card would you like? There's some nice cards. I don't know, like the 151 set. I'm not, like, super hype about it. Like,
no.
As much as, like, I'm just
not really. I don't really get the hype with it. I think it's just because it's related to base set, right? So people are like, it's got to be worth
money. It just feels like they've done so much recently with base set. You know, it didn't feel that long ago since we had celebrations. You know, I just feel like, I don't know. Crown Zenith just felt like it came and went, and there was, like, yeah, I don't know. I'm not really feeling the new sets as much as I thought I might be at the minute. Whereas I'm, like, quite excited to kind of look back at and see how what.
Well, there's no point in collecting stuff. Like, I think a lot of people have kind of fallen into the trap of collecting stuff for money, right? And it takes away, like, I mean, a lot of people in the subreddit have spoken about this and how, you know, obviously a lot of people just collect for fun.
Yeah, like, and this card in particular, like, I love this card so much. Like, the full art as well from Lost Thunder. Like, Lost Thunder is one of my favorite sets as well. I think some of the full arts in that set were amazing. And I'm not the biggest fan of Rainbow Rares ever, but because this is, like, such a hard, like, a big chase card to get from that set, so difficult to pull, and to get in decent condition as well, it's just, you know, I don't think this would be a 10 by any stretch, but should be a 9, 8 or 9, which I'm super happy about when I do get it graded. But again, it's not about, this is, like, something that I really, like, enjoy, and Lugia is a great card, great Pokemon, so... I just feel very, very grateful that the market is where it is at the minute. There will be something that'll happen and it'll go explode again, of course. But that's just how the hobby runs. The other thing to say, mate, about TCG is, have you seen the collectors, what's it called, the collector set, what's it, the prestigious, I can't remember what they're calling it, but it's like the base set that they're redoing as a collector set. Let me just find it, because Joel put a tweet
is this about new? It. Is this a new thing?
No, we saw it revealed on Pokemon Day. I can't remember what the name of it is. Let me just find it.
Oh, the classic. I can't remember the classic thing. Yeah, it's selling for like £1,000 on fucking eBay or some shit right now.
Have you seen how much it is on the Pokemon Center though, when they dropped it? Because yeah. it got released yesterday.
How much was it on Pokemon Center?
£400.
Yeah, I know, it's a lot of money.
Sold out though, instantly. Like, I went on to have a look at it. I was like, well, I'm not paying £400 for it to start with. I don't really want it that desperately. And it was sold out anyway as soon as it clicked through. And it was like seconds after Joel did the update. Yeah, the Pokemon Classic Trading Card Game. Here it is, mate. I'll send it to you. I've got it up. Okay, cool. Yeah, there it is. Yeah, unavailable. Weirdly enough, though, when I checked the US site, it was in stock. But in the UK, it was unavailable. So...
Why didn't you order it? You could have ordered it from the US site.
I'm not that bothered, mate. I'm not that bothered to be paying $400 for something that, you know, if I got it, it would be to keep sealed. And I think I'm not that fussed about it. Yeah, I've got a pretty much near complete base set in a binder anyway. I'm not really that bothered by it. It's a nice thing, but not for $400. I could spend $400 on a lot more useful things than that.
Yeah, you're right. I've kind of got that. Like, you know. Where did I go the other day? I went to an old comic book shop and they had some 151 packs, like Japanese ones. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, that's cool.
Good buy pack. You know, I was like, I think like 20 quid or like 15 quid. It's a lot of money still, but I was like, oh, I could just buy one pack. And I was like, well, it's a lot of money. I'd rather just spend it on something in the future that I want, you know?
Or pick up the singles that you like from that set for probably the same or cheaper price. I think the thing that, like, gets me is, right, like, I got this Lugia for a very reasonable price, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's some chase cards that I really like from the more modern sets, like Fusion Strike. There's the VMAX Gengar alt art card. I love that card. It's amazing. Pretty. It's like Gigantamax Gengar, like sucking in all the.
Yeah, you've
probably seen it.
Yeah, it was one of the ones that guy had stolen from the Pokemon factory. Do you remember?
Yeah. Like the stack of them. I was like, please just give me one of those. But that's like, I don't want to pay the money. Like, I know that's what it is, and I'm not saying like cards shouldn't be valued at what they are, but it's like I'm not willing to pay like £150 to £200 for that card. I'm like, I'm not paying that.
No.
But that is a card that I want. But it's like it just goes in comparison, saying like how much easier it is to pull that card still, because Fusion Strike booster boxes are still available, right? But Lost Thunder booster boxes are pretty few and far between. You're not going to get them for any. But I can buy the most difficult sought after card from that set for a fraction of the cost that it costs to get that Gengar card. Is what I mean at the minute. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd love a sealed box of Lost Thunder. But it'd be dangerous because I'd be like, I should open that.
I want to rip it.
Yeah. It's got some great cards in it. Absolute bangers. It's an absolute banger of a set. So underrated, I feel, Lost Thunder. It really is. Some great full art cards.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird, this motivation for chase cards, where it how it sort of comes and goes.
Is that a sealed case for $750?
No, there's...
What's that?
That's Lost Origin.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Be worth a lot.
Don't want that.
Yeah, fuck that shit.
It's not bad for a case, though.
Yeah, but it's still Lost Origin. There's not nothing amazing in there, is there?
Mm. Yeah, you got the gold.
Even the Japanese one, damn.
Kiss.
Selling for £275.
Yeah, I've opened the box of that. Over the pandemic, actually, I got like a booster box of that.
I'm tempted to get like, I think you can buy like a Korean box of Evolving Skies for like 50 quid.
That's pretty good.
Just buy that, just to crack, not to keep.
The Moonbrewing.
Just to see if I can get the Moonbrewing. Oh no, maybe not then. Oh, that's Eevee Heroes. That is the white one, isn't it?
Yeah, that's Eevee Heroes is the equivalent. Yeah,
oh, yeah, so
that's
maybe it's a lot more than that then, but still.
Have a look for the Chinese one, mate, because I think that's about 60 quid.
Is it? Fair enough.
Yeah, like, have a look. Chinese. Doesn't really matter, right? It's the artwork on the card.
Yeah, it's true.
And the print quality probably way better than what we get.
Nothing's coming up. It's Eevee Heroes.
Yeah, Eevee Heroes. Not Evolving Skies. Eevee. Nothing.
Nothing coming up.
How much is the Umbreon VMAX in this set?
What for?
Chinese version. But it's cheaper. Still be expensive, but yeah. We've went on a real wild tangent here. We're flicking through eBay.
Excuse me?
Looking for cards.
This is listed as £1,600.
Wow. What's that? The Chinese one, is it?
Fuck me. There's a grey one here as well for £3,000.
Way more expensive.
Never mind then.
Yeah, the price has come down quite a bit on that.
Even a Korean English one, $300.
Yeah,
£300. Sorry,
what's that graded one below? What grade's that?
9.
Yeah,
300 quid. That's crazy, man. I don't, it is a gorgeous card, but is it worth that kind of money? Again, if this ever dips in the future, that'd be a good one to pick up. But
yeah, I'm just kicking myself. You know, I thought when that set dropped. I've had this conversation with lots of people where when Evolving Skies dropped, that card was like £100. And I was like, nah, it'll come down like everything does. And all it did was go to the moon. And I'm like, I wish it picked it up then. I wish. But never mind. The Rayquaza one, the alt art Rayquaza from Evolving Skies, that's actually a lot more affordable now than the Moonbrewing. That's come down a lot. And that'll probably still continue to drop. It doesn't seem as popular as the Moonbrewing, but Evolving Skies is a brutal set because you've got the seal booster, haven't you?
The pull rate's really bad, I'm pretty sure.
Never open it. Open it, mate.
I think that's pretty much it. The only other thing I wanted to mention quickly was Santa Cruz did a collab with Pokemon.
No way. Did they?
They did some really cool. I'm about to show you, so you don't have to look it up. They did some really cool stuff. So they did clothing, but the coolest thing they did was the skateboard collabs.
Ooh.
Okay, with some designs, which I show you. They are sick. They're sold out now. You can't fucking buy them anywhere. They're 120 quid each, but they were sold as like basically a booster pack with a single skateboard in. So you didn't get to choose which one it was, but there were 5 golden skateboards that had Pink was Pikachu, Eevee, where's the thing? Charizard and Mimikyu and a Gyarados.
Oh my god, Mimikyu one.
So
very
these
cool.
are the gold ones.
No way.
These are worth like thousands of pounds, these gold ones.
I can imagine.
But if you look at the other designs, so even the other designs were like super cool, but you didn't get to choose.
Look at the Mew.
So
that's very cool.
They're like holographic. The backs of them, but this was the pack basically, and so you got random one out of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of 20 basically.
So sad I missed this,
but they're completely sold out.
No, not bringing them back, are they?
I doubt it, possibly because I want one. I mean, they just even the regular ones look sick.
The bulb, the Vino is so cool. I love them, they're great. How come I missed this?
I don't know, but they do. They've got some clothes here and some other bits. But yeah, the skateboard.
Oh, that's very cool.
The skateboard is a thing that everyone wanted. There's like videos of people ripping them and just getting like. I just watched a video of some guy getting the a golden Charizard.
No way. Wow, that's insane.
But yeah, look how gorgeous that is, man. But yeah, they're worth like thousands of pounds on eBay now.
I can imagine. Yeah.
Yeah, Pokemon stuff just sells like hotcakes, you know?
Yeah.
And I'd especially love a skateboard cool collabs up on like this wall. That's what I mean. The skateboards are so sick.
They look so cool. Mm. I know Worlds, you know, they had a very limited number of the skateboards there. And they sold out within an hour, I think, were gone. You know?
That is madness, isn't it?
Yeah.
Utter madness.
Utter madness.
But yes, so that is pretty much it for this week. I don't think there's much
that else to mention. No, it's been fun, mate. It's been good. Talked about a variety of things. We've delved into goal. We delved into TCG.
Yeah, we hit some good topics today.
Even hit eBay, mate.
It's always good
when we hit eBay.
Oh, you know, yeah. It's good when we hit eBay.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been very fun.
Well, if you've been listening this far ahead, thank you so much if you made it this far. Please leave a like and subscribe if you're new. And leave a review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Only if
you
know, it's good.
It really helps. Only if you think it's good. And again,
only if it's good. If you don't like it and you've got this far, then
let us know.
Sorry.
Let us know why you don't like it. We love constructive criticism. We love constructive criticism.
We love it.
So yeah, that's pretty much it. Is there anything you want to say before we sign off?
No, just thank you to every one of you that is at this stage of the podcast. We have a special extra additional appreciation for you. And hopefully next week I might have something interesting to share with you all. So I'll have to sit on that. I'll leave it there though. But it'd be
cheeky teaser. Cheeky teaser.
Cheeky teaser. Yeah. So yeah. Pokemon related, of course.
Pretend I don't
Pokemon
know what related. It is.
Yeah.
Right. Excellent. Right. So guys,
I don't know what. Oh, yeah. You kind of know what it is, but not
I've
exactly.
I've got a feeling. I don't know what it is exactly.
Yeah.
I will find out soon. I'll be just as surprised as everyone else. Anyway, thank you guys for listening, and we will see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.